does all kinds of shit.
I'm some motherfucking
loopy. I think the boy wants to jam.
The 200 ripes, 11 deaths.
I think that's stupid, and I think it's totally
know
trendy.
That's not what I said.
How the fuck did you get up here anyway?
Blazing buzzard buttocks.
I'm sick and fucking tired of arguing.
Under my feet.
Hey man, you better wash that mic off.
I've always felt that we're here, you're here, let's have as few barriers between the band and the fans as possible.
Yes!
Hey, this is Edwin Outwater, conductor and musical director of SNM2, and you're listening to And Podcast for All.
Welcome back to A Podcast for All. I am Shane Obershaw.
And I'm Jeff Winslow.
And from Pittsburgh, PA, behind a cloud of, well, whoever knows what's in that cloud. Dun, dun, dun.
Uncle Larry.
What's up, duder?
How goes it?
What's new with you?
Just hustling.
Hustling?
Yep. Day work after day work. Metallica projects. Always something.
Tell the people what you told us right before we hit record.
I got sleep apnea. Is that
something to be proud of?
No, but I just feel like anybody that stayed with me on tour deserves to know why. Like, it sounded like a bear got into the room.
That explains why the next three nights at MetLife Stadium, I'm like, I'm going to go get my own Hilton for $980.
Yep.
I'm out.
Yep. And then in Detroit, I think I got hit with a pillow a good 5 to 7 times each night by Brian. So,
yeah, I'm never spending the weekend with you again.
Oh, now I'm going to be quiet, other than the Darth Vader air pump that is going to keep my lungs inflated.
So you've got the CPAP coming your way with the Vader mask and the choke yourself on all the cords and shit in the middle of the night?
Yeah, it's all here. I just got to set up the Game Boy and fill it up with water and... plug it into my head.
Maybe you're going to be a new man.
Let's hope so. I could use
some
energy.
Larry
Levine, until it sleeps.
Edible.
Apnea.
Jeff, what are you up to?
Not much. I've had a day.
A day. It's just a Thursday.
Yeah, a Thursday that... involves getting into car accidents at work and whatnot.
Oh, snap. What happened?
Someone rear-ended us.
So it wasn't the student and it wasn't the instructor.
So disclaimer, like, a little bit of both, but yeah, no, mostly the person behind us.
Well, tell us.
Well, I mean, when you're making a right turn at a green light, generally you shouldn't stop, but...
Oh, boy.
But, you know, students are still learning, and the person behind us, they rear-ended us, and then they jump out of the car, and they come running up, and they're like, oh, sorry, sometimes our van does that, it doesn't want to stop.
What?
Or, I'm like, here, I'm getting ready to apologize. And they're like, it's like a newer ProMaster, too. And they're like, you know, we were maybe driving a little too fast or something. I couldn't really understand them. They were Hispanic, so I couldn't clearly understand everything.
But a newer van.
Yeah, they worked for... it was a company van. And okay. Then it took them 20 minutes to produce an insurance policy number.
Did the police come?
No, because they provided an insurance policy. So
probably a fake one. You'll find out in a couple days.
Right, yeah. But I got their license plate and the name of the company they work for and who they are. So, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, they could do that, but that probably wouldn't be the best idea.
I bet
do you have whiplash?
No, but my back actually did hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
How hard they hit you?
They're probably gone like 20, 25.
Sorry, our van does that sometimes. What a statement. State Patrol would love to hear that.
Yeah, so that took up a portion of the day because the car had to be replaced. And
Oh, dude.
I had to go, and then I went back to work. And so honestly, like, you know, what we're talking about tonight, I won't be able to contribute as much because my mind was a little occupied today. But I'm still here in the clear, in the now, my friend the boom.
Well, maybe you can go last after you listen to us babble.
Yeah, listen to a little Babylon.
I bet your student was freaked out, probably first accident ever.
Yeah, yeah, she cried a little bit, you know.
She?
Well, yeah.
And another Corolla down, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, the fleet. Take a chance.
Jeff, please hold me, kiss me, hug me, just make me feel better.
Oh my god. The ironic thing is the other instructor for the area that I'm in, their car got rear-ended a few days ago, so both the Spring Lake Park cars are down. Yeah.
That's some bad luck.
Well, it looks like you're going to have to use the Evo tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. No, I have a new car now. I had to go and get that all switched out and everything, but the one they gave me is older, so it's a little bit of a pile, but, you know, it's all right.
Have to get another car that's got the brake pedal on the passenger side is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, I had to go pick up a different one.
You've had a day.
Had a day, gentlemen. And then, you know, I get done with work at 9:30. My daughter's at her friend's house, so I had to go pick up Lily from her friend's house. I had to stop at the store for Amanda and then get home, set up all my stuff, and somehow still make it here on time at 10 o'clock.
Right on the button.
Ugh. Jeez.
You guys live busy.
I get why you don't have a list, Jeff. There was no time.
Well, I mean, there probably was time once I went back to work, but I'll be totally honest. Like, I kind of, you know, I feel like I was a little extra vigilant when I went back to work. Because when you get into an accident at work, every time you see a car rush up behind you and you look in that mirror, you're like, oh boy, here we go again. Especially when this isn't the first time this has happened.
Right.
It's kind of like right after you get pulled over, you're like, all right, I'm going to do the speed limit. And that lasts for about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, but anyways, I'm eager to hear what everyone has to say, and I'll put some stuff together as we're going through here, and it'll be a fun night.
Jeff took it from behind, and Larry got diagnosed. What a Thursday!
And Boar's a ghost.
Yeah, where's Boar at?
Boar
Robo
yeah, did,
Boar.
Did Robo Boar go see a movie? Is that why he's not here?
A horror movie. Shocking.
Yep. He's redoing his bathroom with a shark cage and a bust of Jaws.
Oh, dude, I saw that.
Whore movie. WHORE.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How many movies can you see on a school night? It's Thursday
night.
How
many movies can you go into the movie theater and see per year?
I don't know.
I went and saw Wonka. That was the most recent one that I saw when I was in theaters. Saw that with the kiddos. Great movie. Loved it. But before that, I think the last movie I saw in theaters was like, I don't know, maybe Frozen 2 the day before we went to Italy. You know, I think we talked about this in one of the episodes. So it's like, I don't go and see movies. I love movies.
It's too much effort.
It's not only that, but it's dangerous nowadays.
Did you ever see Ferrari?
I eventually did see it. That movie is,
I told you the sounds were fucking amazing.
100%.
The audio.
That's a movie you want to watch with, like, full-on, like, ear monitors, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, not even watch it. If you don't have a great system to watch it on, you want to listen to it with, like, some really good headphones.
Like, put it in my mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Great movie. I told you it was totally different than what I thought it was going to be about.
Yeah, but still really good. Solid. Really, the cinematography in it, it was done well.
Solid. go ahead, Larry.
I was going to say, I don't see how you go to a movie theater on a Thursday night, a.k.a. a school night, let alone when Conan O'Brien's new special dropped, and it's pretty damn amazing. And you don't have to put on pants to watch that.
Good point.
Shameless plug for Conan.
I was never a Conan fan.
I like Conan. Speaking of new
He's
stuff,
decent. I just wasn't like huge on him.
This show's pretty good. It's just him traveling and fucking with people.
Okay.
Larry,
my kind
of
stuff.
Were you ever a gamer?
Yeah, yeah. Well, define gamer. Like,
not like, I don't mean someone who spends like their whole day. I just mean like someone who just casually enjoys video games.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you play Fallout ever?
I didn't, but I had a buddy that was like obsessed over that game, so I'm generally familiar, and I just started the series as
you
a result
did steal,
of it.
Okay. Yep. That's what I was going to ask, if you had started watching it. I've only seen the first episode. I'm a huge Fallout fan. I played the video games. But wow, just even the first episode, it's a little slow, but it's very like captivating, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like what they're saying is true. It might be one of the best video game to TV show adaptations ever, because the detail in it, man, already right off the bat, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, I feel like they're getting better. They finally figured it out with like The Last of Us. I think where I was at in my work career, I had to like let go of gaming by that point, just because it was like, if I have free time, I'm playing guitar or I'm doing freelance, so...
Yeah, I mean, some of the video games to movies or TV shows were decent, but generally they were always a little bit, you know, I don't know, hit or miss.
I mean, it's hard to develop a plot for a video game sometimes. Like, there are certain narratives that just don't have anything else, you know.
Well, yeah.
Resident Evil, we're just killing zombies.
You know, they did decent with Hitman. I thought that was done pretty well.
I'm sort of surprised they haven't done a GTA movie. Like,
I am too,
animated or something.
GTA 5 could have been a movie. The story from GTA 5 with the three, you know, main characters, Michael, Trevor, and Franklin. I mean, that literally, that game is a movie. And the new one is going to be a movie as well. It's going to be interesting.
Speaking of that, do we have any updates from that Rockstar camp?
So there is going to be a new trailer that's coming out, I believe, this summer. I think it's this summer.
I can't wait that long. First, you're making me wait till 25, and now you got to wait another 3 months for a trailer?
Well, dude, you're like not even on your Xbox anymore. The last time you were on, it says you played F1 like 170 days ago.
True.
All I got to say is Yeah, F1, that's a great game. The new one's coming out. Did you see the preview for the new one?
It's all fired up again.
Oh, man. But you better get GTA for Xbox, and we're going to jump in a party, and we're going to be playing that.
I don't know.
You gotta.
I don't know. My buttons are... My head is programmed for a Sony controller, not a Microsoft.
Oh, the Xbox is... Well, actually, in all reality, the PlayStation's probably a better system. It's just... I don't know. I'm used to an Xbox.
I hear you.
Now.
I hear you. How many views did that first trailer get? Like 65 million in 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, or it's absolutely ridiculous.
So this next one will probably have more.
Oh, I'm sure, because now there's insane hype around it.
Yeah, I get it.
And then you have that dude
That's why they dragged this out. All the clicks.
Yeah, you think about how much money they're putting into it, but then how much money they're getting back on it. I mean... GTA 5, I'm pretty sure, is the highest grossing game in video game history.
Bob O'Rourke just texted us. Oh, he just said ha ha to the shark bathroom. Bob, get
so
out of
So he's
that.
Out of the movie.
Get out of the whore movie and get on APFA.
Yeah, someone text him that. Say, hey, we're online right now. You're obviously not at the movies.
That
so...
movie's not good if you're texting us.
I'm like, guys, I'm out in the garage hanging my new Rocky poster.
Oh, man.
So, Shane, I might be able to give you a... So I know this isn't going to be the answer that you want, but the way that it normally works is Rockstar will have, like, their A-team work on something like Red Dead Redemption, and then at a point have them sort of switch over to start working on GTA, but it depends on...
Right.
They're like feature release. I had a buddy that was in video gaming, and he would explain how it would all work and how that would like impact the game release, because they even just need so much. Like when we did 3D, we would have to outsource rendering because it would take just 3 days to render the graphics for us to like gut check them. So when you think about just like the map, the reality factor, all the textures, that's probably some of it is they're just like, in a rack server farm somewhere in Cupertino waiting for this thing to finish rendering so they can make sure the afros look tight and the hookers have the right fishnets on and stuff.
Speaking of video games and AI, if there was something that they were going to use AI technology for, they should use it for the NPCs. Imagine adaptive AI NPCs where you could, if you're with your headset on, talk to them through the character and they talk back. Because I mean, you already have they already have the AI with the chat where you can have a full on conversation with this AI, you know, random chat bot, if you will. If you have that in a video game and then it adapts to what you're doing in your gameplay and it remembers what you've done, if you're a criminal or if you're this or if you're that, I mean, that's the future of gaming. That's where I feel like something like AI is used in a proper manner, not, you know, in a way where it takes Larry's job away from him.
Thank you. So they did do that in The Force Unleashed. It was tied into the physics engine. So whenever you would shoot a tree, it would never splinter the same way. If you fired at a stormtrooper, their reaction would be different. But it wasn't to the point where it was as mature as like what you're talking about. Like, but what Shane said, it's probably going to get there because it would be the ultimate like virtual reality interaction, especially when you get to like the Oculus level or whatever. Like, can you imagine? They have a Ghostbusters game. Could you imagine, like, you know, the Ghostbuster characters interacting with you and evolving and, you know, being lifelike? It'd be crazy.
And that's the thing. It's through AI, it starts off as a base character that you meet. And then literally from there, because they can already replicate their voices, this and that, they can make it look like that. And now you can literally, essentially, like, every game that you play that has that, you can form, like, almost like a relationship with each character in the game. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, and then you know what's going to happen. You're going to get onto Facebook, and it's going to be like, guy tries to marry female avatar elf that he fell in love with in digital world.
Hey, you know what? There's probably people that have been doing that since Windows 95 with, you know, Final Fantasy and stuff.
I just want to get to the point, like, before I OJ the hooker 53 times to the neck, I can tell her to take her pants off, and she does it.
Or if you want, you can walk around the streets and go up to some random NPC and say, hey, want to go back to my place? Have some PBRs?
Some PBRs.
Pretty hurdy. Next thing you know it, you're chopping someone up and putting them in a 55-gallon drum.
Jeff, what's that smell from your apartment?
What's that smell?
You gotta love technology.
Yeah, it's getting there.
To think we went from Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers and even before that Atari to AI with hookers and reality.
Wow.
Yeah, fucking Galaga to now.
Larry's all worried about AI taking over. I mean, Larry, you got the future is all in your hands, dude. All within your hands.
You want to be all right. I got the spit out the bone mask. I'll wear it and confuse all the.
You've got the actual mask from the video. You can tell all these gamers how they can, you know, tell the hookers to do what you want. Pretty soon they're going to have you programming those sex robots you can buy in, I think, Japan now.
Oh, yeah.
And those are like full AI because they get to like know your personality and like learn like who you are.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Larry's going to have a future. So when you're not wearing your sleep apnea mask, you can be making out with that new doll that you got to program.
The sex Tamagotchi. That's what we're talking
That's
about.
That's what it is.
You got to feed it and water it, keep it happy.
It's like My Pet Rock.
The Sims, basically.
I thought SimCity 2000 was the future. We've come a long way.
SimCity 2000.
Dude, that game was addicting as shit when that came out.
I've been playing a game lately.
Oh, so good.
That's called House Flipper 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you literally can build
your
houses.
Vanilla Ice.
Dude, you can build houses from the ground up. Like foundation, basement, everything. Like you could literally build your own house within this game. It's absolutely insane the amount of detail.
And the time lapse on it's pretty real.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like it took 2 weeks to pour the foundation in your basement.
Oh, no, not like that, but like down to the detail of like measurements and like length and height and width and all of that.
Can you fuck it up and it'll collapse in on itself if you don't put like load bearing in right places and family or something?
No, not quite to that
You're losing
extent.
Me.
But that'd be great. That'd be great.
We're going to need some 2x4s. Shane, how long do you want those 2x4s? Well, long enough. We're building the garage.
Yeah, exactly. Long enough. Well, since we started.
Exactly. I'm Parched. Season 16, Episode 4. We're talking about our favorite shirts of Metallica. And this is kind of up Larry's avenue tonight. Logos of Metallica. Shirts and logos. Otherwise known as Don't Thread on Me.
Now, when you said logos, were you talking the band logos? Or yes. Like, so, like, the different logos they've had over the course? Or, yes. like digital
album-specific artwork?
Like, era? Like,
well, that's what I mean. Is it artwork or is it logos?
Logos.
So,
but that's the thing. I would consider, like, the St. Anger Fist a logo, but you're just saying just the band logos.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, like, the Ninja Stars a logo?
That's true.
Okay, yep. So stuff like that, okay.
I was thinking, like, album-specific logos. Like, obviously, Kill 'Em All is a lot different than the St. Anger era logo.
Okay, so that's, yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Because at first, I didn't know if you meant literally the band's logos, or if you were just talking, like, images, like,
No. Oh, fuck, images.
Crunch.
There's a million. It would take
well,
forever.
Well, that's
why
I was
take forever.
Oh, well, logos, yeah.
There's so many I can't start to think about it.
Literally.
Yeah, I'm just, literally. I had this idea, and I'm like, oh, Larry, logos, cool, and all of us, you know, we could talk t-shirts for probably an entire season. There's so many.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, maybe it's a good thing Bob isn't here tonight. Imagine him going through all the t-shirt tags he still has left over from
this
all the years.
This one's a giant tag, and this one's a Screen Stars tag, and this one's a Spencer's tag. But in 1997, Spencer's bought Giant, but I have all three tags for one shirt.
This is when Giant was in blue lettering, and then in black lettering, and then they made the A red.
Larry, do another impersonation of Bob putting up a Rocky poster, just something in the house.
Hey, I'm gonna go in the garage, Sandy, and I just saw a crocodile, and I'm gonna put up my Rocky poster.
That's so good. Damn good.
I'm not a poser though. It's an OG one. I don't know. It's a little just like soft spoken.
You close your whore mouth.
Yeah, Bob does have a soft spoken voice. There's nothing wrong with that, though.
No, I wish.
No, I'm just Larry. Just nails it. That's what was funny. It's so damn similar.
It's kind of scary.
All right, shirts and logos. Don't thread on me. Who wants to kick this off? Well, Jeff has to go last because he didn't do his homework because he took it in the rear today.
I mean, I'll go
well,
first.
Actually, I might not have to go last. I think okay. I actually already have my...
That fast?
I think I...
But you had a day.
Well, I should say for my favorite. I don't have a full list. I just at least have a favorite.
You have, right, to, you have to have a bad list, too.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to have the hater list.
I do have that, too.
Larry, kick it off.
I'll do it. So I'm going to start off with shirts in the bottom three. So I'm going to count down from...
You're starting off with shitty
shirts. Least worst to worst, let's call it. So number three...
And are we doing top three or top five?
I just did top three, although okay. I do have an honorable mention in the logo. So
okay. Larry Levine, PA, take it away.
So number coming in at the bottom three shirts is... and I feel like I'm going to get some boos for this, but... The M2K Summer Sanitarium inmate shirt. I just was not a fan of it.
The prison inmates?
Yeah, where it's like everybody and you're like, wait, is that James or Kid Rock?
Or Fred.
Like, I love Squindo. I don't want to... But it just seemed very like thrown together. Like, hey, we need a new tour shirt and get it out.
Okay.
And I just didn't feel like it was the strongest version of that concept.
And if I remember right, the back of that shirt is decent with all the band logos and the dates.
Yeah.
But the front with
the
prison,
the
it's like,
front.
It's like you said, is that James or is that Fred Durst? I have no idea. Maybe it could be Mudvayne.
Yeah. And I get they're all in straight jackets and barefoot, but I don't. Eh.
I got
it was
you.
Just fine.
That was in the early Squindo days.
It's true. Coming in at number two, and this is going to be just like a categorical thing, but the instrument shirts, I just can't. They look like bootlegs to me, whether it's the Vulture, the Ouija, the drums, the Iron Cross one. They all just say Metallica and then have the guitar neck and guitar body and some splatter design.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like that was a product we need, and I don't really feel like the design is like show the band with the instrument. Why are we just profiling instruments that aren't signature available? It just confused me. Mm-hmm. And I think they're just a little cheesy.
I hear you. I didn't even think of those, but yeah, I can say I don't own one, so I guess I don't dig them.
I mean, I get the Vulture the most out of all of them because it's branded and Lars's drums for the album, so I could see the argument made, but like the Ouija and just random guitars just feel off to me.
Uncle Milty, here we are.
I mean, I do love that guitar, but yeah.
Yeah, it's about cock girth.
Just because you can't buy that guitar does not mean you need it on a shirt.
Valid fucking point.
Coming in at number one is the weird co-branding between Metallica and Liquid Death. I love Liquid Death's brand and all their collateral, but why do we have Gina Davis's character from Beetlejuice as a pterodactyl carrying Beavis and Butthead's decapitated heads? Like, I don't... What does it have to do with Metallica?
I'm looking up at my water thing of Liquid Death right now as you said that. The M72 version?
Yeah, I just don't understand it. You know, it's just like, hey, here's a random piece of art that we just put the Metallica logo with. And
that's about what they did.
Yeah, it just...
Hey, all these drinks are going to be in Target next week. We need this by tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that reeks of, I went to the design team and they're like, hey, Lars wants to see something by Monday.
Right.
And some random guy was like, I have this cool drawing that I think is kind of metal. And they're like, yeah, let's roll with that. Sure.
Agreed.
Provocative.
Now every time I look at that, I'm not going to... You just totally ruined it for me. Yep.
I'm sorry. It's a cool piece of art. Again, it's just like, I don't know why the Metallica...
I will never forget what you just said when I see that now.
I ruined it for everybody, probably.
Thank you. Just like I ruined the Kill 'Em All album for everyone saying that looks like a woman with her, you know, chin on her fist.
You're going to see Liquid Death cases hitting eBay after this episode now.
Hashtag Beavis and Butthead.
So now we're going to move on to top, because I have a little trick for the logo discussion, but coming in at number three
this
is
shirts or logos?
Shirts.
Okay,
Sticking with shirts.
Okay, thank you.
Metal Up Your Ass, the toilet design, the OG one that should have been the album art.
Okay.
Just feel like the type that saying has become so iconic, it was the album that never was, or the album title that never was, and I just think that graphic has aged well. Like, it just sort of speaks to their almost young, rebellious punk attitude.
Agreed.
Coming in at number two, and I almost put Fixer in this category, but I had to include a Pusshead design, so I went with the OG Damage Inc. with the skull and the bats coming out of the head as the horns.
That's... it's amazing how popular that one is. And this has nothing to do with me, but I really never caught on to that. Like, you see that shirt 50 times any show. You see it in... I'd say that's a top five shirt that probably has sold.
Yeah, I think that was part of my influence, was like, how iconic is the graphic in the history of Metallica, right? Like, it was on posters.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's probably one of their all-time bestsellers between that and probably realistically Harvester of Sorrow or another Pusshead design.
Yeah, I was thinking Sad But True.
Yep. Another good one.
But when you think like Damage Inc., it's like, okay, not the most popular song. And when that shirt came out, I mean, it's just a weird... I guess the timing of that shirt's weird of how popular it got. I like the front of it, but the back... Something about the... The front has, like, my colors on it, and then the back has that yellow and blue, and then it's like, bleh.
Yep. Yeah, it does get a little random.
You know what I mean, Jeff?
Yeah.
Like, I love the black and the red on the front, but then you turn it over...
I just love the way you said that.
The colors are terrible on the back. And it's in the back is cool, because it's, you know, the whole pile of bodies and bones and that part's cool, but I feel like those are two different shirts, because I love the front, but the back is like, you know, some second grader painted it with finger paint. And it's just like, why did you go with blue and yellow in 1985, 86? What are you doing? It's
probably print limitation, but or what you said, like, Puss had wanted to do the front, and then
yeah.
James came up with the back, and they're like, ah, we'll just throw it on. We only get one tour shirt this year.
We'll just do it all together. Just throw it all.
And the weird thing is
pile of shit.
Yeah, I have.
Just gonna say that.
I actually have that shirt, and it's because of the back. I never wear it.
Yeah.
I wish it was just the front and the back was just nothing.
But I feel like the other reason I picked that is that's the only time we really saw that, like, stencil, ransom note style type
mm-hmm.
that became synonymous with, like, the tour graphics.
The tour, yeah. And I like the tour
they
one.
They never did it again.
Yeah. The front's phenomenal. It's just, it's funny that you brought that up because I started thinking about how much I don't like the back.
Yeah. I try to forget about the back, honestly.
That's a shirt that, like, really, really OG, old school people in their 60s are wearing to shows. That's like a Mueller shirt.
I almost, which speaking of, I almost.
No, I'm serious.
Fry Guy. Fry Guy yeah. was real close, but you're right.
Like, if you think of Mueller at a show, like, his age and how he went back to the Ride and Puppets days, like, that's the type of fan that wears a very faded out, damaging
that's
shirt.
That's true. That is definitely true.
Then you had to, like, mail into some magazine in the back and fill yeah. out a form to get.
Yeah, yeah, you had to mail your stamps into Rockabilia back in, you know, 86.
Those were the days.
That's a good discussion. Hate that back.
Yeah. There's the episode artwork. The back with, like, the Ghostbuster logo XL.
Absolutely.
And number one, and I don't even know if this is like a best of, this is just goes into my favorite, but the Made in LA 102881 flames from Cunning with the M on the shoulder plate.
All right. The Harley shirt.
Yep.
That's a badass.
I just think it's a badass shirt and it's classic and it sort of nods to the JH1. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whether it's the 15, 25, 30 year. Yeah, that's classic. I wore the shit out of that shirt.
Actually, something interesting you said, Shane, about the Puss Head thing, and it's sort of the same with that, is I don't know more than any other band you can see a shirt design and it takes you back to a specific era. Like, I can't not see that LA shirt and think about MTV Icon, or not Icon, oh my God, the Load Contest. I'm having a total brain fart.
Motherload.
Motherload. I almost said Unloaded. Uh-huh. But like that, Cunning Stunts coming out, like it just harkens back. And same with the Harvester, the Damaging shirts.
No, totally agree. It's funny how I'll see those shirts or I'll open my bins or closet of shirts a couple times a year looking for something. And a certain shirt will take me back to like what grade I was in school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I got this shirt in fifth grade,
I saw some
three
of the shirts
and,
that don't even fit me anymore. Yeah. That I was like, some of the concert tees.
And it's
like,
weird. Like, the one shirt I'd wear during a certain part of the year in like sixth grade or eighth grade or tenth grade, like, it brought me back to like memories of like school and like where I was sitting in class because I'd just, you know, tune out the teacher and just look down at my shirt and just stare at it and try to like redraw it and fuck around for the for the hour, you know?
Yeah.
It's just funny how you, just like if I see a Damage Ink shirt at any show or anywhere around town, I'm like, oh, seventh grade study hall, me and this guy and this other kid totally fucking off, you know, talking about Metallica the entire day. But I digress.
It's funny how stuff does that. That was a good list.
They're like timeless, you know?
All right, so logos, and it's unfortunate that we don't have video because I am going to do a live telestration for you both.
Oh my God, look at this, Jeff.
Oh, that's funny. I have that that I literally pulled up that exact same image.
It's the best reference guide. So we'll start with worst again. I'm going to cross out.
Do you feel like you're at work presenting to like CNN's webmaster and Nat Geo?
Yeah, basically. Although I don't get to like roast stuff. I mean, sometimes, but not to this degree.
Who were you talking? who were you talking to that one day when you were like presenting to 200 people and like you got hacked and someone started drawing a penis on the screen?
Oh, that was the like user experience group in Northern Virginia, and it was hosted by the CNN team. Yeah, and someone Zoom bombed me, and the room wasn't like gated or protected, so they just came in the middle of my design methodology presentation and started drawing dicks on my screen.
I will never forget that.
Yep.
Jeff, you saw that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It comes up all the time. It comes up all the time at work, and then I have to pull the video up of me doing it.
Who doesn't have a life where they're like, I'm going to hack into this random corporate chat room and draw cocks on the screen?
It was probably, like, it's the equivalent of the Jerky Boys nowadays. Instead of prank calling people, you Zoom bomb people. It's a thing, I guess.
Oh, man. So,
but, like, me trying to explain to the guy, like, hey, there's a cock on my screen. Can you wipe it off and we can move forward and eject these two 12-year-olds?
Let's be honest. It was probably Boar.
It might have been. Message Boar. Duh.
All right. So you just totally hacked and took over our website here. We have all the logos of all the eras. Well, almost.
Yep. This is going to be interesting the way this sort of works out. So I'm going to do worst and then best. So
okay.
Number three is going to be our 2000 fan club logo.
Look at this, Jeff. He's even crossing it out with the pen.
That's the first worst?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is third. I'm least worst to worst.
Oh, okay. So the stretched out 2000 fan club one.
Yep.
Okay. Kind of looks like load on steroids.
Yeah, something. I don't know what, or like.
I even forgot
they
about
didn't
that one.
Quite get to the St. Anger logo yet.
Okay.
They were trying some things out. Yeah, it just feels a little too Batman cartoonish for me.
Now that you said Batman, I can totally see that.
Yeah, it's like the Batarang, basically. I don't know. It just doesn't have the same maturity of some of the other logos.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jeff. Coming in at number two, that's going to be SCOM. Just because, let's make an effort, people. Like, you just typed out Metallica and blocked out the A's.
You already typed it out for S&M. You already did it once, and then that's fine, and it's good for S&M, but don't do it again. And then they stretched it out and then, filled in the A's.
Yeah, I don't even really feel like it's a logo. It's more of a type mark is how we would describe it.
It's more of a mission statement.
I mean, I get that was very, that was the time, but yeah, it just feels a little bit thrown together, and ironically coming in at number one is going to be S&M1 because again, let's just make it Helvetica bold and stretch it out a little bit. And
You mean Times New Roman?
I do like I like simple logos like that. Like, do you know the band August Burns Red?
Yeah.
Every single album cover they've ever done, they have the same logo, and it's in that same font that S&M is in, and that's all their logo is. But it's so simple that, like, that's become synonymous with that band, you know what I mean? If you look up August Burns Red's logo, it's clean, it's simple, it's like, all right, it looks like anybody could do it, but that's all right, because that's what it's supposed to be, you know what I mean?
Totally.
But I get it. For Metallica, their logos have never been like that, so I do understand. I don't know. I defend it because I think for S&M in that setting, that clean, simple logo looks good. It's just like, it's bold. It's right to the point. You know, I feel like the record itself does enough of what the logo normally does, if that makes sense.
As far as,
like, captivating you.
Well, and I'm sure the other reason they did it too is we already have the barbed M with the S. The S note thing, and they probably didn't want to be duplicative. The thing that just irks me a little bit, and I'm all for minimalists, like the Crate and Barrel type logos, it doesn't have any of their DNA in it. You know what I mean? Like, at least
that's fair.
Sharpen the M and the A like you do the load, so there it retains some of the original.
Just a
logo
little
DNA.
Bit of that, yeah. Yep.
All right. So that was list one. The top is much harder for me, so I do have an honorable mention, and it's going to be our Binge and Purge Distress Stencil logo.
This is number three.
Cases. This is honorable mention. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Almost three.
Okay.
And then moving to number three, it's our handwritten in James's handwriting 1987 Garage Days, which then became sort of the motif for Garage Inc. as well.
That's on your favorites?
Yeah, there's something about
the handwritten doodle.
Yeah, the fact that they took that risk at that time wasn't really something that people were doing in graphic design, and it I think it's inspired a lot of.
I'm with you 100% on that.
Further. Oh, thanks, Jeff. I mean, it almost looks like Beavis's shirt from Beavis and Butthead. Like, yep. You wrote it out in marker, but there's something to be said for.
I forgot about that.
Also, the time. Like, hey, we're making this demo ourselves, and we're handwriting it, and there's the personalization, and, you know, what also says we give the least amount of fucks than this logo, right? Which is, again, the epitome of their attitude back then. So,
I hear you.
And it all, maybe too, it's me romanticizing as a designer. Like, this could have been James's first notebook sketch that became the Metallica logo. That's another way I see it.
You were just fantasizing that it was your work, be honest.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It is true.
How come that's not in the Papa Hatpin font?
Yeah, that's a sore subject. Actually, the one thing, by the way, in Metallica news we didn't talk about was Jimmy's old ashy middle finger tattoo this week.
I was going to mention it.
Oh, that's right.
We started talking about something else and I forgot.
Yep.
All I'm going to say is, cool idea, but to actually go through with it, I'm like, wow, I'm surprised he did that.
Is it going to get infected from all that dead skin? Like,
it's just... It's a cool idea and creative, but that he actually did it. I mean, he might not have said he did, but I'm pretty sure he did. It's like, that's...
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
At his age, I'm like, that's a little off, but...
Like J-Rock said, creative nobody should be slinging chicken and liquor at your age.
It's creative as hell, but at his age, I'm like, that's a little fucked up.
It's a little cheesy when you're a 60-year-old man getting
right.
that type of tattoo. But at the same time, because he's who he is and he's famous, it's almost like famous people get a pass to just do whatever they want.
It was
but
creative.
No one else would be
just
able to get away with that. You know, like no one. I mean, I Gary Holt's done his guitar in blood, but no one else would be able to pull that off and not be like, oh, this is your little certifiable that you're mixing dead skin into this tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ashy skin.
I mean, I guess it does create a deeper black.
Black hole sun.
All right. I struggled because this is one of my all-time favorites, but I just could not put it at number one. And ironically, it is the one Spatter logo.
Yeah.
That's your favorite.
This is number two. It's one of my
one.
Favorites. I couldn't do it. No, because we did honorable mention. This is HM.
Okay.
H&M. Number one is going to be because if you hear the word Metallica, this is what I would picture in my mind, and that's going to be our 1984 chromed out Ride the Lightning logo.
So when you hear Metallica, that's what you picture?
Yeah.
Wow.
If I had a blank canvas and you were like, it's a metal band from the 80s, Metallica,
golf
right?
Player.
I would think something chromed out that has dimension that could stick in you.
Okay.
And for that time, again, pretty revolutionary that they were able to pull off something this clean and realistic.
Okay. Well done.
That's it.
Some I like, some I don't like. You're about ready to find out. I like the show you put on for us with the digital pin and the screen that Jeff and I have no idea what to do on our own show.
Thanks. I try.
Very creative.
Just that chair and then... Mario Paint. A lot of Mario Paint working with that mouse.
That was a great... You call it a game? No, it was like software.
Yeah, it was basically like MS Paint just on Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to go. I'm just volunteering myself. Then we're going to hear from Jeff, and then we're going to hear from Robo Boar.
Robo Boar.
Yeah, maybe by then he'll be home from the horror movie. What am I going with here? Shirts first?
Shits first.
Shirts.
Your choice.
You want good shirts or you want horse shit shirts?
You know what? Let's do good first and close it out with the bad shit.
Good. I have three, like the rules specified. This shirt was the Unforgiven / Wherever I May Roam shirt. It was a gray shirt with like a gravedigger on it.
Oh, sure.
And on the back, there's a skull going into the grave, and it says, New Blood Joins This Earth. And it was one of the first Metallica shirts that I had. And I have a great memory of it because I was so proud of it. I wore it like 4 days in a row without washing it. And on the fourth day, I went to a family reunion. And in the backseat of the car, my dad was driving, and all the way in the backseat of the car, he's like, something stinks. What the fuck smells? And I'm like, it's not me. He's like, you've worn that shirt like a week straight. Have you done laundry? And I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to kill me. And he puts his head like towards the backseat and goes, God damn it, that's your shirt.
Take it off, throw it out the window.
How's that for a memory? My body lie, but still I roam, and then new blood joins this earth. It's a very rare. How many Metallica shirts do you see that are gray? It's weird. And the logo up on the chest is like orange. You're both familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I love that shirt. It was just rare, and it was heavy metal, and I'm not always into the skull and bone pile, you know, like. Stereotypical Metallica shirt.
It gets boring.
Yeah, I get really bored with skulls quick, but that's the one skull and death shirt where I'm like, fuck, that's a great shirt. And for some reason, on eBay, it's like $225 now. It's harder than shit to find. I still have it in my bin. Very proud of that. Number two, we have a tie. The infamous 1996-1997 soccer jersey. The white, smooth, like it's almost like a silk shirt.
With the black collar and the red ninjas.
Yep, I've had two in my life. I lost the first one. I bought a second one. One, it's comfortable. Two, it's different. And for me, three, it's a collared shirt and I can get away with wearing it at a lot of events that I probably shouldn't be wearing a Metallica shirt, but I fucking love that shirt. Simple, to the point. Not anyone really knows that it's a Metallica shirt. I love it. That was a tie with another white shirt. I kind of have a trend here. There's no black shirts, but we'll get to that in a bit. The 1994 Shit Hits the Sheds, all four of them lined up, Binge and Purge shirt with all the dates on the back. You've seen me wear that about 300 times, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
The neck's all yellow. There's holes in it.
Yep.
The four of them, I believe the picture was taken in Mexico City. They're lined up and Jason's got the short hair.
Yeah.
And it's the road case lettering and it's just a badass shirt.
I do remember that shirt.
Still wear it. Still got it. Number one. What's that?
Oh, that's a good list so far.
I love it. Number one. It's called the collage shirt. It had only spanned from Kill 'Em All to the Black Album, but the entire shirt is wrapped in all five album covers.
Oh, one of them kind of shirts.
Where, like, the bottom is, like, the puppet's feel that goes, like, around your waist.
Yeah.
And the middle is the snake, and then they incorporate the chair and the blood all over it. Which, making a collage shirt now with all the records would be tough, but back then when it was just Kill through Black, it's still my favorite shirt of all time. I've worn it to many, many shows. I wore that to my first meet and greet. It's just like the shirt as a kid that you saw and you're like, that might be the fucking coolest shirt I've ever seen.
I get that.
Yeah.
Solid.
That's a good list.
You really burned through it too.
Well, I'm worried about RoboBoard's recordings could be like 28 minutes to talk about one shirt.
That's fair.
Anyway. I like my notes here in big capital letters. Fucking dumb. Here's these three. Dumb. I don't want to rip on Squindo, but since Larry did, I'm going to. It was some of his early work. It's a 99-2000 shirt. This shirt is also white with the terrible kind of off cartoonish logo and their foreheads as like cartoon pieces.
Oh, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
And it was
about.
Around like the M2K tour, and for those 9 dates, they put those dates on the back.
I love that shirt. Well, actually, I loved it as a sticker.
Yes, that's what it was, Jeff. I think it originally was a sticker, and then at last minute for M2K, they're like, oh shit, we need shirts, make that a shirt.
I liked it as a sticker. I think I had the sticker when I was a kid.
And I believe everybody but me loves that cartoonish look of theirs, and I see that at a lot of shows, too. And I see a lot of things, like on eBay and that's autographed because it's white. And I just, there's something about their faces, and they use that logo that really wasn't theirs. Like, if you Google, like, a rip-off, knockoff logo, that's on that shirt, and it drives me nuts.
Well, that's my daily life right there, what you just described, Shane.
That's your ADHD with graphics?
Yeah, with anything. I'm like, oh, why'd they do that?
I think that'd be OCD.
Let me fix it. Yeah. Oh, it's a. I check a bunch of boxes.
Number two of can't stand this shirt, the no leaf clover shirt that they incorporated with the clover and skulls, and it's yellow and green, and it reminds me of St. Patrick's Day.
Yep, well, I wonder why.
Can't. And it's not too popular, but when I see it, I'm just like, oh, God, throw that away.
Toss it in the trash.
It's like they needed a shirt at the last minute for Clover. It just didn't work.
Yeah, it's not the best. That's another Puff's Head design, and it's not the best.
You're trying to incorporate skulls and clovers? No. Sorry, it didn't work.
Dude, you could mix freaking horror and leprechauns together. Have you ever seen the movie Leprechaun?
W-H-O-R-E. And the worst shirt of all time, and this will never be beaten because it's that bad. It came in green. It also came in purple. Right around 2000, 2001. And I don't even know what this is, but I refer to it as the alien image. It's like a guy with no face. And then his hair goes over the top of the entire logo in purple and green. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Jeff, if you went to any Hot Topic or Spencer's, you've seen this piece of shit.
Oh, well,
it is terrible. It's like... Larry, try to explain it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Oh, it's so bad. It looks like the biggest... knockoff bootleg, like what band would ever release that? And I'm like, this is officially theirs, and they made it was a popular sticker too.
I almost picked what Larry picked with the guitar shirts. Dude, not a big fan of those.
Larry, you're finding it, aren't you?
Trying.
It's like an alien. It's a guy standing there with no face, with purple hair that goes all the way over the top of the what I call the load reload font logo.
It's my favorite.
No, it's vomit material.
Vomit. Oh, it feels good to sit back.
Jeff, how was UFC 300?
Oh, dude. Don't get me started. We won't get back on track if
just
I do.
Give me
it
your summary. It was basically, you got knocked the fuck out.
There was, oh my goodness, there were some knockouts that were, we're talking movie shit here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fights, the guy is up 4-5. 10 seconds left in the fight, he calls for both of them to meet in the center, and they're just going to trade blows until the fight's over.
Okay.
Literally 1 second left on the clock, hits him with a body shot, right hook, and knocks him out cold.
And that was it.
Out cold at 4:59 of round five. I mean, you couldn't... That's movie shit right there, dude.
I wasn't watching it, but I saw the highlights, obviously. That's how I had to ask you.
It was, yeah. It was unbelievable.
That's when I saw Dana White said, I sell oh shit moments.
Yeah, he's like, when people ask me what I do, I sell oh shit moments.
And that was
for
an
a
oh
living.
Shit moment. Like, there that's
was,
well said.
There was quite a few of those.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not a bad night at the office for those guys.
No, they're laughing.
Yeah.
Larry, did you find it?
No, I can't. I'm trying to do it by year, but I haven't found it yet.
Oh, while he's looking, why don't you do your logos?
Logos that I do not like. Number three.
You start with the ones you don't like?
Yeah.
Are you doing it off of that same list that Larry had, too?
No.
I mean, like, that same set of logos, or?
Maybe. You might hear some, you might not.
Because I pulled up that same image
that
he did.
That's a great reference, but I've got some
that's what I went off of
audibles
too.
On here.
Okay.
These are logos I do not like. Dun, dun, dun. Some kind of monster.
Yeah.
I'm like, did Warner Brothers make that? Did Paramount make that? No,
Warner Brothers and Paramount did not. Otherwise, it'd be much more eye-catcher. That it was an independent movie.
It was. I was like. Did Phil Toll make that?
Not all you're talking.
Bob Rock make that? Did Jason submit more. That on his last day as he left? Went out the door? It's just like, who
it's
put
very
that
likely
together?
While Bob was playing the
P-Bass, right? The 51.
The 51, he threw that logo together.
That is just, that whole font on that cover is just terrible.
James said, you know what? It looks almost perfect, but if you fill in those A's, it'll
no.
be chef's kiss.
No, it's... That was a therapy induced decision, possibly.
Very, very true.
Mm-hmm. Everyone goes gaga for the Kill 'Em All logo. The original logo that actually has like the border frame around it that they had on
Hold
their
on.
Banner.
You mean the No Life to Leather one right there?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, you are correct. Yes, good. Thank you for clarifying. No Life. Because
there's a difference between
yes,
the
sorry.
Kill 'Em All and the No Life to Leather.
I'm talking about their backdrop during that tour and the demo cassette.
Yeah, it's got all the extra shit around it.
You didn't need to take an outline and put a border around that, sorry.
Agreed.
I cannot stand that look. And I know it's original and you're up here. No, Larry, that's not it.
I figured, but I just had to share it because the one was so bad. And
what
I
is this?
That looks like a ICP shirt.
I've never seen
Damn,
that.
Can I add that to my list?
That's
Holy
terrible.
Shankies.
Yeah.
That's got to be a knockoff.
It says 99 and it's out in white and black.
No. I'm going to find this alien one. It's so bad. All right. We talked about SCOM. We talked about the outline of No Life to Leather. The number one logo I cannot stand. Cringeworthy. Garage Days and Garage Inc.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
A kindergartner.
Thank you and good night.
A kindergartner drew that with a number two pencil, and I'm like, no.
That's what it's supposed to look like.
I know, but I hate it.
Actually, to clarify, Emma's got neater handwriting than that.
Exactly.
But it's supposed to look like that, and I love it.
I know. Hate's a strong
Didn't
word.
Did James break his arm that year skateboarding?
I hate that look. That's not Metallica. That's like...
That's 100% Metallica.
That's
like
a Battle of the Bands flyer in 7th grade at the garage in Burnsville.
Oh, what was that? At the garage? For Garage Days?
Okay, bad example. That's the name of the venue.
I know.
That's just... Dude, you go from Lightning and Puppets almost heading into Justice, and you come out with that pencil shit. Come on.
I love it.
I'm with Jeff. I love it.
That's like something that like Weezer or, you know, Sublime would do. It's terrible.
What?
Bad.
No, it's something Metallica would do and they did it.
And it's bad. End of discussion. Those are my bad ones.
All right, let's hear the good ones. They're probably pretty bad. I'm just kidding.
Surprisingly, at number three, without the name, just the Ninja Star. I when that first came out, I'm like, that's weird, but I like it. And then it grew and it grew. And let's be honest, it got pretty fucking big and it still is pretty fucking big.
I like the Ninja Star, but just to play devil's advocate with you real quick, I just want to devil's advocate. You're talking about the garage days and that's not Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
What about a Ninja Star is Metallica? They're none of them are martial artists, Chinese throw ninja stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I've always.
Whoa, and I agree with
you're
you. I just
about
said,
Rob.
Wah. That's true. Like I said, I'm simply just playing devil's advocate. I'm just curious why that's Metallica-ish. Or is it? Or was that where it's like, you know, there's sometimes an exception to something that's like, it's just cool because it's cool. You know what I mean?
It was like they were following Prince. They're like, we're going to be a symbol now.
No, I agree. I like the Ninja Star. I don't have any against it by any means.
I felt like at the time it was cool that you knew who it was just based on the M's. The M's were that big where you could make it circular and make something cool and sharp and metal out of it at the time.
That's fair.
You got to realize I was in eighth grade and I'm like fucking mind blown by this M in the corner on the back of this record.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, I definitely like the Ninja Star. I've always been a fan of it. I was just more curious of what it was about that caught your eye. You know what I mean?
It was so creative that you have Load, which was a shock to all of us, with a really boring logo, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But you kept the old M and put it on the back and made it into a blade, where I'm like, all right, they wrote a song called Mama Said, which we're not fans of, but we still have a little bit of metal on the back cover.
We're still alive.
You're scaring me, but we still got some metal in the back corner.
That's fair. That's fair.
But think of how big that logo's gotten.
Oh, yeah. It's synonymous with Metallica. Now you see that. And,
yeah.
You know, they had T-shirts that they ended up just putting that on, and yeah.
I think I found a chain, by the way. I just sent it.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Here we go, Jeff. Nope.
The second one.
Nope.
The second one, isn't it?
Nope, but that's really fucking retarded.
That's bad,
too. That's terrible.
See, there's a lot of shirts I don't know about. Like, I feel like all the ones you sent, I want to choose those over the ones that I picked. Because as far as bad...
Bill has that shirt.
That's not as bad as the bottom one.
This is terrible.
That's bad.
Are you sure that's real?
Yeah, it's a club tee.
That's the... From the 90s. You're right. That's the same kind of alien guy, though, but you got to find his in purple, and his hair goes over the load-reload style logo.
Yeah, well, I think we get it.
So bad.
It's bad.
Fuck it. It's the same kind of dude. Where was I? Oh, yeah, logos.
Yeah, my bad. I threw you all off.
This is going to shock you. Number two, Hardwired. The Glitch.
Huh.
For a favorite?
Yes.
I get that.
Jeff is really puzzled right now, and that's okay.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it has the old school mixed with the new school. I guess I never disliked it. I was just surprised that you put it that high up.
It's a tie with the one, the wet paint one from the one, you know, the one logo.
Yeah.
That Larry showed. I refer to that as like the wet paint one. It was a tie between that one, but I went with Hardwired because I'm like, I think that's up there. And when they make videos and, you know,
Bob got this one in the closet. Sorry.
And, you know, when they made videos with that logo and made the glitch like electric, I'm like, I thought that was so fucking cool. That was well done. And they were able to ride that logo for a while. And number one should be no surprise to anybody. Live shit, block stencil lettering, road case logo is what I call it. It'll never be topped.
Binge and Purge.
I don't think. Never come out with anything cooler than that. It's the stencil road case vibe that anytime I see those cases in the arena stadium, you can't help but not look at that a couple extra seconds like, God, that's a badass stencil.
It is. I agree.
Yep.
That's a great list.
Yeah.
Did I cover everything?
Really solid.
That shitty shirt, that great shirt, those shitty logos, and that logo you just can't fuck with.
I just can't get over the garage ink thing.
It's terrible. I just.
I get it.
No.
You don't like the. Yeah.
Poor penmanship.
Jameson, take handwriting classes.
Are we going with Robobor or Mr. Winslow?
I'll go, and then okay. Robobor can close it up. All right, so t-shirts. I guess I'll start with least because my list isn't all that great for it. For least favorite shirts, I had to go with at number three. I had to go with this new 72 seasons shirt that they got out. It's
I had a hunch it'd be something newer.
It's not good. It's a yellow logo with a square. McLovin album cover. Remember McLovin's yes. Injustice for All shirt? Yes. And he walks up and yep. says, "What's up, gangsters?"
Before he gets punched in the face at the
now that mark. I love that shirt because that scene and that movie and that it made it iconic. But this that is bad. That is official issue selling. That's terrible.
Jeff, here it is. Good job, Larry.
Oh, that's.
Is that an alien?
Oh, I see.
That's the guy from Cunning Stunts that gets caught on fire.
They made it in purple. It's terrible.
Spider-Man pose.
It's not the one I was talking about, but it's the same guy.
Close enough.
They've made
it's a very small little logo, it's too. Terrible. It's terrible. Like,
yeah.
And it was in green and purple, and the alien looks like a chick in the purple one. It's like a baby doll shirt. It's fucking terrible. Sorry, Jeff. I agree with you. The yellow square on a black t-shirt's not good.
Yeah, no, not a fan of that.
Nice job, Blair.
I try.
You know, I hate to continue shitting on 72 seasons, but I also got to say the M72 World Tour t-shirt is not very good either.
Of them not standing?
Just standing with the light, and you can't even see their faces. Like, it reminds me of, like, Stillwater from Almost Famous, where you can see the singer, but then all the rest of their faces yes. are just blurred out.
That's another one that looks like a bootleg, though.
It's like,
and is a bootleg a lot.
Is that a band or a volleyball team?
Yeah, exactly. And we're sticking with the newer shirts just because a lot of them I'm just not a huge fan of. And I have to go with the hardwired with the faces on it.
Oh, not wow.
Not a huge fan of that. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of the album cover itself, so then adding that onto a t-shirt with your favorite logo.
Foreheads on your chest.
Yeah, no, just not really my favorite thing. So definitely the newer stuff I'm not as big of a fan of, at least in that aspect. Mm-hmm. But as far as favorite goes, all right, at number three, I'm going to really piss Bob off here because I'm throwing SpongeBob in there. I absolutely love it. I love the SpongeBob shirt. And I'm also going to throw the Sean Solomon shirt in there too. The
Napster?
The goofy cartoon one. He does he makes cartoons of like bands and they made a shirt.
It's almost like Adventureland Doodles type thing, Jeff.
Was that the load arrow with Jason?
No, that's this one right here. This was just a couple days ago. He gave Kirk one of the shirts.
Yep.
That's terrible.
I love it because, I don't know, it's
that's
not
how
Metallica.
Kirk sees the world?
Yeah, literally.
It looks like the Care Bears.
I just think it's kind of goofy. That's why I like it. And I feel like a lot of
it's a white shirt.
I feel like a lot of, quote unquote gatekeeper metalheads are like, oh, metal band Metallica can't do that. It's like, no, that's Metallica is at that point in their career. They can have something like that. And I think that's more of a one-off shirt. That's why I kind of threw it in with the SpongeBob one. You know, they're kind of goofy, but on to some more serious. At number two, I got to go with the vintage Justice for All, the four faces, the white one.
Nice.
I love that
shirt. It almost made my list, but it didn't.
It's too iconic to not put in there for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. And then at number one, and this is just...
I'm afraid to wear that white shirt.
Right.
The one that came with the Justice box set. Because I have the old one, which is grimy. I wore it at the first AF show.
Yep, that's
the last time
I
wore it on stage.
That's like the OG. That's
a
one.
Good one. But the new one I'm afraid to wear. It's too white.
Number one favorite shirt, and this is, a sentimental thing to me, probably because it was the very first Metallica shirt I ever got when I was a kid, and I always loved the design. I got to go with the Unforgiven shirt with the Hangman and the noose.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love that
that's
shirt.
That's the
It says, so I dubbed the Unforgiven on it.
They call it the Executioner.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a great
it's
shirt.
Another Pusshead design.
With the world on the back.
Shirt. Yes. Yep. It's just, it's a classic. I had one of those shirts when I was a kid. Absolutely loved it. So
yeah, for, that really like sharp red-black logo.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
So I felt like I had to put that as number one for sentimental reasons.
About that one. That's a good
no
call.
Saint Anger. I figured you'd throw Saint Anger fist on there or something, Jeff, being a fan of the album so much.
That'll be when we get the logos.
Spoiler.
I know, Jeff.
All right. I'll move on to logos. So with the logos, and I went basically off of like the similar list that Larry went off of. And so for me, I'll do my favorite ones first. So at number three, well, actually, I'm going to honorable mention it first. Honorable mention, I got to go with The Garage Remains the Same because I love the incorporation of the Led Zeppelin,
Zeppelin
logo
okay.
with Metallica. So that's my honorable mention for favorite. But then at number three, I'll put the Saint Anger one in there for sentimental reasons just because I love that era. But it can't go up at number one because it's just not iconic enough to be number one. At number two...
A lot of road cases with that logo on it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. At number two, I'm going with Larry. I'm going Garage Days. Absolutely
oh,
love
God.
It.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are there's, killing me.
There's something about that that it just... Fucking you can't dumb. Touch that... Just, I don't know. It's almost like they were dropping their guard and they were like, you know what, this is, we're going to show the raw side of Metallica. And that's what I love.
Yeah, they
about
dropped
it.
Their guard. They turned the bass way up.
Yeah, exactly. and number one, I'm going to, you know, call it cheating, but I have a tie between two of them. They're both equally. And I'm going Binge and Purge and Kill 'Em All. Not the No Life to Leather, but just the OG.
Thank God.
Kill 'Em All.
All right, you pass.
those two, Binge and Purge for personal reasons, but the Kill 'Em All, to me, that's the most iconic one because that's what they ended up editing for, like, Death Magnetic and then Hardwired.
The 2D one.
Yeah, like, the 3D ones were cool for the couple albums that they had it for, but to me... What is the iconic Metallica logo is that OG Kill 'Em All logo. As far as least favorite logos going, you know, it was kind of tough because I really don't dislike any of them that much. But at, I got to say, my honorable mention for that, you guys are going to really not like me for this one, but I don't like the one paint splatter. I was never a big fan
what?
Of it. I get kind of the
wow.
Gore vibes from that logo.
It's a
just,
great one. It reminds
me
of
that,
a skateboard.
And I guess that's fair. That is fair because I forgot that logo went with those skateboard designs. But it was just never one of my favorite ones. It just, I don't know, there's something about it. But it didn't quite... I didn't dislike it enough to actually put it in at number three. At number three...
Jeff, you dislike the logo just like you dislike the song.
I just disliked playing the song. That's
what I meant.
at number three, I'm going to have to do... I'm going to agree with everyone. I think it's across the board, the SCOM logo. It's not good. And that's coming from a Saint Anger era
fan. Unanimous. We'll see what Bob says.
SCOM logo's got to go. And then at number two... We're going No Life to Leather. Not good with all the extra.
That's
just like
right.
What Shane was saying. You took a cool logo, you added all this, and it was unnecessary.
Yeah, you added an F1 track around it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then at number one, we're going the Fan Club. That stretched out, like, Batman-looking logo. It's not
good. That one didn't even dawn on me. It's so bad.
It's not good. So
does that count as a club shirt? It's not a record logo.
Well, it's no different than the Ninja Star counting.
I know. When Larry brought that up, I'm like, I totally even forgot about that one. There's so many.
Got to try to erase it from your mind.
We'll call that the Batman from here on out. Nicely done. Right.
Well, let's play Boar because I don't know what's going on. That's why I keep looking over here. I keep unplugging my charger and plugging it back in. It's plugged in. The little orange light is on.
Uh-oh.
but it doesn't have the battery or the lightning bolt icon. It has a charger icon on the battery, and it says power source, power adapter, but then it says battery is not charging.
What percent are you at?
26.
Oh, we better hustle.
And dropping. I put it this way. I was at 55 when I started.
All right, ready for RoboBoar?
Yep.
Here we go.
Hey, fellas.
Can you hear it?
It's a pretty good topic. It kind of kills me to not be there for the discussion, but, you know, going to see a horror movie tonight. Sometimes horror movies win out over Metallica.
No.
Anyway. top five t-shirts.
Five?
First off, I got to start off with some honorable mentions.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
First one
here
being
we go.
Unforgiven/Gravedigger.
That's my shirt.
It's a Pusshead design from 94, 95, maybe.
All right.
Absolutely love that shirt. And that's one of the Metallica shirts that I don't know whatever happened to it that I had. I wore it at my first show. Don't know where the hell it is. Next up is Birth School Metallica Death. Perfect freaking design. Got
Agreed.
The crossed arms on the front. Got that handwritten creed on the back.
No, the handwriting is terrible.
It's pretty rad. Metallistock 94. Hippie shit, beads and peace. I think that's a rad shirt. Haven't had it, unfortunately.
Larry says no.
And then another, the final...
Oh, shit, it died. God damn it.
I'm going to make a prediction. He's going to say the Metallica Death.
Next up is Birth School Metallica Death.
Just bear with me.
Perfect freaking design. Got the crossed arms on the front. Got that handwritten creed on the back.
Creed?
It's pretty rad. Metallistock 94. Hippie shit, beads and peace. I think that's a rad shirt.
That's a rare one.
Haven't had it. Unfortunately, and then another, the final honorable mention, the Struggle Within long sleeve. It's a badass shirt. They repressed it back in whenever the Black Album Deluxe box set came out, but that was on a different type of shirt, and it wasn't on the old Giant shirts.
Giant
was shit.
The tag.
I sent it back. But yeah,
we're only on his honorable mentions, right?
Right.
All right.
He has five honorable
now
mentions.
Now on to my top five shirts. Starting off at number five, Sabotrue. It's a perfect fucking shirt, no matter what the back is. You know, there's been different variations of it from, you know, the secret warm up shows to, I think, whatever. I think that was that might have been what Jason was wearing in the Moscow video. But anyway. It's a great shirt. It's classic design and great Pusshead artwork. Number four, the Four Faces and Justice for All shirt.
There we go.
Obviously, I'm sure Shane has that on his list.
No.
It's a great shirt.
Surprisingly.
That was one that I got in
It
was the seventh grade.
Bing, bing, bing.
And I remember wearing that to school and my teacher making me turn it inside out or put like a long sleeve button up over it because of the back.
What?
Showing the four record covers and, you know, Kill 'Em All. She was like, oh, you can't have Kill 'Em All on your t-shirt.
Oh,
like,
my
really?
God.
Okay. Number three, the Gimme Fuel Pit Crew shirt, which is a crew-only shirt that James was wearing in 99, 2000.
Okay.
It's an awesome fucking shirt. Great design. You gotta love a good, solid, simplistic pocket art design, and that's one of them. Number two, Damage Incorporated. Perfect shirt. We've discussed this many times on the show. It was my very
fuck
first
yeah,
RoboBoar. And it's just an incredible design.
Remember Bob Pump at an abandoned house?
Else. I think it looks great.
True story.
And it's intimidating for non-fans. And number one, the Made in L.A. long sleeve.
All right.
Whether it's 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years,
twins,
whatever.
Pretty similar list.
Shirt, and I hope it gets reissued once they come around with the Load and Reload box sets because it's a great design. I have my original one in my closet, and I have, I think, a 20-year one also in the closet.
Of course you also do.
With the tag.
Worst shirts. This is in no particular order. I do have a dishonorable mention. the My Apocalypse shirt. It's sort of a crest over the entire chest that looks really bad. It looks like Tap Out style, you know, that sort of late, early 2000s design when all that kind of bullshit.
That's a good description, though.
And it just looks really bad. If it was smaller, you know, the design was smaller, more Tap cool, Out. But that all over print looks really bad. And I know Jeff will disagree with me on this one, but the SpongeBob shirt.
Yes!
2004, 5, 6, somewhere around there. I don't remember. SpongeBob's cool, but that was just a weird design. And a weird.
No, SpongeBob is not cool.
Co-opt.
No, SpongeBob is very cool.
That shirt's terrible.
Next one is the S&M tuxedo shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Those tuxedo shirts are stupid.
Forgot about those.
Sure, it was clever. It was a clever idea. You know, I think in the on the bow tie, it has the little ninja star, which is cool. But again, where are you going to wear that? You know, are you going to wear that out, you know, when you go out to the mall or when you go out shopping, grocery shopping?
To whatever? The mall.
It's a dumb shirt.
No one goes to the mall anymore, Bob.
Number three, the original Beavis Metallica shirt. I actually have this one. It's on it. It's a giant tag. And,
oh, there's the tag.
It was just a blue.
He's talking about tags.
With the handwritten Metallica on it. I know they.
He's probably going through his closet.
Yeah, looking at everything.
Yeah.
From 94, 95, 96, whenever it came out.
I love how he said he didn't like it, but he still wears
it's
it.
A dumb idea. I still wear it, so I guess I'm guilty of.
I like that his barometer is the mall. What am I going to wear this to the mall?
Monroeville.
Next one is the Day on the Green. Shirt from 91.
Day on the Green.
You know,
it's a
I
great
know
shirt.
The Day on the Green shirt, but when you see the artwork, it's like a it's puss head artwork. It's got the skull with the roses and shit.
Yeah, I love it.
Flames behind it. Immediately when I see roses, I think Guns N' Roses. So that shirt always was kind of ugh. And I even got one of those in one of those trash can sales in the early 2000s.
I love the detail.
To somebody for something. I don't remember what it was. And my number one. Worst shirt is Give Me Fuel, Give Me Fire.
Yeah.
This was a shirt that you'll have to, this should probably be the episode artwork is that image.
It's bad.
So fucking bad.
Yeah.
When I saw this announced on whatever website it was, Rockabilia or whatever, I couldn't believe, I was like, oh, they're selling bootleg shirts. And then when it was officially announced, I think it was even sold on in the Met store. I was like, the fuck is that? That is awful, 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 awful design.
Watch your
lazy
mouth, Bob. This is a family program.
Clip art, bullshit. And that's it. I'm sticking to it.
I think he's referring to that. It's that cartoon demon in the 57 Chevy. Mm-hmm. Give me fuel, give me fire. And like the wheels are like ninja stars.
Yep.
No, he sent it. It's a different one than that, actually. It's...
What?
Yeah, it's. I'm gonna send it again.
I thought he was talking about the demon with the mohawk and the Chevy.
No, wait, do you see this? That's like the Rat Fink. I just sent it again, but check it out.
Oh, I was wrong. Which is okay. I thought that he was totally talking about.
I don't remember ever seeing this shirt before, but leave it up to Bob to know about this obscure thing.
Is this the one he's talking about?
Yeah, because he sent it. He's like, this is the worst shirt that ever was.
I agree. Jeff, are you looking at this?
It says burn you on the license plate.
Yeah, you must burn. They were 25 years ago predicting the future, like The Simpsons.
And it's the I Disappear Camaro. Kidding. It's not.
No, that's a Charger.
Oh, my God. It actually is. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Pretty similar list there. I like that, except for the SpongeBob bullshit. Jeff, why do you like the SpongeBob shirt? Just asking.
Well, see, this is
rare,
the thing.
Or you got kids?
A little bit of both, and SpongeBob's nostalgic. You got to understand, SpongeBob came out in 99, so I was still a kid when SpongeBob came out. So I did theoretically grow up with SpongeBob.
Okay.
So it's nostalgic and sentimental to me, and now that my kids love it, it's... When people ask, everybody's got a guilty pleasure. My guilty pleasure is that I still enjoy watching SpongeBob. I'll fully admit it.
6 hours later.
And it still makes me laugh. Like, I'll watch episodes from when I was a kid, and, like, I'm literally still laughing at them to this day. I don't know. I'm such a kid. I know I'm so immature.
I hear it. Oh, shit, hang on. No, I totally get it. Man, dude, you're never going to believe who's calling here.
Who?
Bruce Springsteen. He heard about us talking to Phil Anselmo last week. Let me plug the phone in here. We can get a better audio of it here. Mr. Springsteen, how are we doing? Welcome to In Podcast for All, Season 16, Episode 4. Honored to have you, sir.
Well, all right, boys. This is something different for the balls.
Where are you at tonight, Bruce?
I'm in an undisclosed beach drinking tequila, getting ready to go out again and play some music after getting COVID on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that.
Sorry, still got a little cough.
Well, dude, honored to have you, Bruce. You've always been the boss, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think you've only sold about 160 million records, and let's be honest, it's always good to be born in the USA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I played with your boys at the Monument, the Concert of Valor, a few years ago. They put on a hell of a show.
That's when you guys were rocking in front of the Capitol in D.C., correct?
Yeah, and Dave Grohl, Zach Brown, yeah.
Bruce, we always ask our guests, we had Phil on from Pantera a couple weeks ago, that's why we got you in the mix here. Over your career, on the road, around the world, you know, in and out of the universe, when did Metallica start to show up on your radar?
Oh, man, it was probably the 80s, you know, it was a different scene, late 80s, but, you know, cut maybe the Puppets era a little bit. I was in New York, I had access to the underground music scene, you know, following Bob Dylan, and it just wasn't my thing, and then I eventually got it a little bit, yeah.
Favorite song? These days?
I like Nothing Else Matters. I like a song that reaches into your soul.
Sorry to laugh.
Yeah, it's just that's okay. I didn't think you would. I didn't think that would be one
of
your...
We were born to run. See, in your soul.
Wow, that's pretty cool that you sang that on our little podcast. We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
We also ask guests as well, Bruce, what's the song that should not be? You might not be familiar. They have a song called The Thing That Should Not Be, but a song that kind of catches you off guard, weren't a fan of, maybe a little too commercial. You don't have to answer it, but we always ask a guest here and there what their opinions are of maybe the not-so-good stuff.
I you'd expect me to say, one of their less popular albums, but I think Hardwired. I heard it had a nice beat, but it just didn't get there.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else you'd like to add, Bruce? I mean, I'm just floored that... Jeff, can you believe that Springsteen called us? We've been doing this, what, 4.5 years?
The boss himself.
The boss. I just...
Yeah.
You know, first...
It's been fun.
First it's Phil, and then, I mean, you can't go wrong with the boss.
Well, the pleasure's mine, fellas. Gonna just have a nightcap and get some rest on these old vocal cords.
Bruce, we know you're pretty political these days. Any politicians or gigs coming up, or you're gonna be rocking Born in the USA at maybe some rallies or conventions soon?
Nothing planned yet. I'm just seeing how it goes right now, trying not to get too worked up about it yet. But Maybe.
Busy election year. I remember you were pretty involved in 16 and 20, so we'll probably see you at some big events coming up this summer and fall.
You might, yeah.
All right, Bruce. Well, thanks again for stopping in.
Thank you, sir.
Till next time. Have a good night, fellas.
All right, Bruce. Take care. The boss, Phil Anselmo, Phil Toll, Chris Jericho, Edwin Outwater, Larry Levine, Mike Mueller. I mean, the list just keeps going. Robo-Boar. I mean, you can't top this. I mean, come on, man.
Friend, bitches.
And hoes.
All right, we got to finish up Robo-Boar and then we're out of here.
Yeah, what the hell, Robo-Boar? You have this long-ass list. We're already at an hour and a half, Boar.
All right. One more.
All right.
This one was interesting to go through. Top five top logos. Honorable mention is the hand-drawn one from the Live at Wembley 92 single. Was it later reissued on, what, like a 10-inch vinyl?
Terrible.
The Black Album box set. But it's you know, I think that whole hand-drawn artwork of the scary guy and the hand-drawn notes and all that stuff from James, and even the smudges from, you know, his fingerprints from the ink, I think is great. But that logo just looks so cool. It's a variation of the Garage Days handwritten logo. And I used to doodle that version quite a bit. I had an X-ray light.
A what? Put
things on there, and you could trace things, trace artwork, and trace logos and stuff, and draw.
Like a light bright?
So I would do that a lot on a lot of things. You know, homemade bootleg labels and stuff. It was fun.
All right. You would, Bob.
So getting into the top five top logos, starting at number five, the Stencil One from the Live Shit era.
Yeah.
I think that's a great looking logo.
We all agree.
Obviously, it's still on a lot of their road cases today. It looks awesome. It's perfect. It's a little update of the original, you know, fish hook, kill 'em all style. It's perfect. Number four, the Black Album 3D logo. Obviously, there's the Ride the Lightning and Master Puppets 3D version, but the Black Album one just looks so cool because it's black, you know. It looks cool on a t-shirt, whether it's a white t-shirt, the four faces white one with the diamond stage.
True.
Schematics on the back. It just looks awesome. Or whether it's on a black t-shirt, it looks great. Number three, the Garage Days handwritten.
Oh.
Obviously, Garage Days Revisited. Garage Inc. I love that.
I'm so outnumbered on this.
Throughout the Larry, 1999 Garage Remains the Same Tour, they used that logo on a lot, you know, a lot of the posters and handbills that you saw for the different shows, the different festivals they played.
Brother, what?
It's a great design. I didn't want to interrupt Robo-Boar, but stark. It's something that I can draw.
Interesting how this is playing out.
You can interrupt. I paused it.
Yeah, it's just funny. The horse fly alignment tonight. It's minus funny. You.
You know, and to me, that also signifies a great logo when you can draw it. And, of course, number one is the original Kill 'Em All style. It looks evil. It looks scary.
Not the F1 track.
And it's simplistic, but it speaks volumes. Now, on to my worst logos. Starting with a dishonorable mention, the Creeping Death Stone logo on the Creeping Death 12-inch single.
What?
Cut them off.
I always thought that looked very boot.
Wow.
What the hell?
That's a everything about that cover is amazing.
Is this his best list? Do we miss
his? This is his worst. That's a badass stone, purple and green. You know what I'm talking about.
Like the mossy, yeah.
Yeah.
With the skull underneath it. Yeah, that's one of the best, like, single covers, basically.
I'm glad he brought that up because I might have to put that in my best list now.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
I think that's up there with the Ride the Lightning logo for sure.
That surprised me.
Now I want to boo him.
Boo.
Boo, boy.
It looks like a bootleg, you know? It doesn't look official.
A loot
even
bang.
Though it's an official single, it just looks... I don't know. I thought he liked those. Starting with number five now.
Well, that was honorable.
The Helping Hands LP logo. And obviously, I get the idea of it being like, you know, a 60s era gig poster. You know, very, very much channeling the
colorful,
trippy, acidy, liquidy effects of Grateful Dead and all that San Francisco Haight-Ashbury kind of stuff. And it works for that record, being that it was recorded in San Francisco, but it just looks stupid.
Crime Town.
at number four, the Some Kind of Monster logo.
There we go.
You know, it's very Art Deco looking. And
unanimous.
I mean, just look at the poster for the movie or the Some Kind of Monster single.
Deco.
Is that the only four-way across the board?
Kind of look to me, it looks like something that you would
see. So far, I think so, yeah.
Binge and Purge?
Rocketeer, he said.
I don't think.
I don't know. It doesn't speak to me. Number three, that sort of blocky, cracked St. Anger logo. That was also by Pusshead, not the logo with the fish hooks and all that, but the one that was on the singles, and it's like all caps.
Yep.
It was on all the St. Anger singles.
Good call.
Yep,
especially
I agree.
The Frantic single.
Not very good.
I don't know. There's something. It doesn't feel Metallica to me. And these last two.
Good call.
I'm kind of maybe biased to because I can't draw them. They're too difficult to draw. Number two is the Hardwired Glitch logo. Great idea in theory, but I can't draw that shit. Come on. So it gets number two on the list.
Get a ruler, Bob.
Doesn't mean it's bad.
And finally, number one. And, man, I love Pusshead, but that St. Anger era logo.
Wow.
It was too much of a
I knew that was
a lot of O3.
And it actually just reminded me, I forgot my number two top logo. So I'll get to that in a second.
What?
But yeah, that St. Anger logo, it's, I don't know, man. It looks like something that Sepultura should have, you know? So anyway, rewind, top five,
like
top
bar.
Logos. Number two is, of course, the Ninja Star Load Era logo.
That a boy.
It's the Ninja Star. It's kind of a cheat.
That's
the Ninja
number
Star
two.
Itself. But also that logo, that Metallica logo where it doesn't have the fish hooks and it's got the little teeth.
A little teeth.
You know, that was on the cover of Load and Reload. But also there's a variation of that where it has the Ninja Star behind it. So that's why I included it together. But yeah, I think that's a great logo. And again, I'm nostalgic for that time, that era. So that's why I picked that one. So yeah. Great discussion, and I can't wait to see what you guys have.
And there's RoboBoar.
That was quick.
Bobo Roar.
Pretty good list. I mean, except for the Garage Ink pencil second grader thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good list.
I'm looking
at... What about the glitch? You shit on your glitch.
I know. Well, that's because he couldn't draw it. He needs a 12-inch ruler.
Just draw the regular one and cut up the piece of paper and then misalign them, Bob.
I'm looking at the Creeping Death vinyl, and how do you shit on anything on that cover?
Yeah, that one confuses me.
Like you said, mossy, kind of wet, battered.
Yeah,
I mean,
I can understand all the St. Anger era stuff, and even the logo. I mean, I picked it for one of my favorites, but I get why, you know, but that one is surprising.
Like, dude, I'll take... I don't get it. You can't fuck with anything on that record. Or that single.
Cool.
The questions we have, Boar. That's what happens when you go to too many horror movies.
That's why he didn't show up. He didn't want to argue with us about some of this.
His list was strong. Pretty. It's funny when you think of how many shirts are in the Metallica world. Like, I'm not exaggerating. 700-800 that are official.
Too many.
And then look how many we were very similar on.
And you know what's crazy is I bet those older shirts still outsell some of the new, like, worst list stuff, like the Damage Ink and the Unforgiven and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm glad that none of us said? The Master of Puppets album cover t-shirt.
I almost put that for my least favorite.
Yeah, any of the record ones, I mean, let's be honest, I had them all.
Yeah, but it's like, I appreciate them, but they're so popular, it like, makes them...
You see
Puppets,
50 Ride the Lightning
Ride,
in a day.
And Justice, those three. Mm-hmm. Justice was a little bit more popular about 10 years ago, but the Puppets and Ride shirts are out of control.
Agreed. That's fun. I'm going to go to bed and get up in 6 hours.
That was a good idea.
And the boss stopped by, that's monumental.
Yeah, I was stunned.
That was amazing.
Speechless.
Thanks to Phil and Selma for making that happen. Jeff, don't get rear-ended tomorrow. Larry, make sure to put on your CPAP, Darth Vader mask, and sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
Have you heard from Pizzle this week? Is he still okay?
I haven't heard from him this week, but he's fine.
Okay.
I'll be seeing him soon.
Okay, just checking. Hi, Pizzle. Bye, Pizzle.
Hi, bye, Pizzle.
Bye, Pizzle. Bye, right. Bob.
Bye, Bob. Bye, Robo-Bore. Bye, Horror Movies. Yeah. Bye, Awful Garage Inc. Garage Days logo pencil, sponsored by Number 2, Lead.
Bye, Bruce.
Jeff, teach your kids to drive through the Green Arrow, not stop.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a work in progress.
All right.
Baby Driver, that shit.
Yeah, exactly. I love that movie.
Instead of having a brake on the right, you need an accelerator, too.
Exactly.
Fucking punch it. Ludicrous mode that shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, boys.
Thank you. Good night.
Till next week. Bye, Pizzle.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And good Bizzle.
Number 2 for the win and the loss. See ya.
See ya.